In Mexico, President Claudia Sheinbaum is pushing for constitutional reform. It would effectively ban anyone with dual citizenship from higher office. She posed the question this way late last month: why have dual nationality if you're going to represent the people of Mexico? That might suggest that anyone with another nationality, another passport, may not be completely loyal to the country they serve. But is that really true? Some experts say that citizenship and loyalty are not as mutually compatible as you may think. That's one of our top stories today at the Christian Science Monitor, written by our correspondent in Mexico City, Whitney Ulick. Find Whitney's story at csmonitor.com. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Thursday, September 10th. I'm Matthew Bell in Boston. First, our curation of news briefs from writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The UN nuclear watchdog reported Iran to the Security Council. The International Atomic Energy Agency cited Tehran for the first time in 20 years for failure to cooperate in a long-running investigation into uranium traces detected by inspectors at various undeclared sites. Iran has withheld access to the locations since Israel and the United States launched a 12-day war in June 2025. Reporting Iran to the Security Council shifts responsibility to a higher authority that is able to enact further measures, including sanctions or asset freezes. But specific punitive measures are unlikely in this case, since Iran's allies, Russia and China, which oppose the resolution, hold veto power. Mistrust of government information is rising in the U.S. A poll from the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, and USA Facts, published on Wednesday, suggests that a majority of American adults express little or no trust in federal information about elections, foreign affairs, or the environment. Only 34% of respondents said they trust government certifications of election results a great deal or quite a bit. That's down slightly from 40% in 2024. Certification is a typically routine process in which local and state officials confirm the vote count, but it has been increasingly politicized since Donald Trump lost the 2020 presidential election. Trust in government information has also become more partisan since Mr. Trump's first term, the survey found. Also, Massachusetts governor blocked most data centers that lack community approval. Governor Maura Healey signed an executive order prohibiting the state from issuing permits or authorizations to data centers with a peak energy demand greater than 25 megawatts, unless the applicant has submitted a community benefits agreement. The cavernous facilities can use vast amounts of water and electricity. They have been the object of grassroots bipartisan protests nationwide over their consumption of resources and environmental impact. Several municipalities in Massachusetts have already approved local moratoriums on data centers. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. After the 9/11 attacks, pundits predicted a clash of civilizations, a geopolitical theory popular in the 1990s. The reality has been much more complicated. Howard LaFranchi reports from New York for the Monitor. A new tax on vacation homes in Rhode Island targets pricey beach properties, such as the one owned by pop star Taylor Swift. Locally, residents debate whether the effort can raise funds for affordable housing without driving away vacation homeowners who contribute to the economy. Cameron Pugh reports from Westerly, Rhode Island, for the Monitor. Pressure is growing on the UN to prove its effectiveness and relevance. Here's how its next chief will be chosen. Tim Backshall reports for The Monitor. Rising food prices and a desire to connect with nature are among factors driving some people to forage, experts say. Even an urban landscape looks different once one learns what plants are edible. Cindy Carcamo and Jenna Schoenfeld report from Santa Ana, California, for The Monitor. An unexpected downpour floods this Home Forum writer with childhood memories and a defiant joy in getting soaked. Contributor Robert Close writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a call to create a compelling vision for democracy in Germany. What just happened? As The Monitor's Mark Sappenfield reported Tuesday, that's what Germans are asking themselves after a far-right party won nearly 44% of the vote in a state election this week. The Alternative for Germany, also known as the AfD, has been viewed as an extremist threat to democracy by the government in Berlin, and a tacit firewall among centrist parties has excluded it from local or regional governing coalitions. Yet, with its Eurosceptic anti-immigration platform, the AfD is now just 3 seats short of a governing majority in the state of Saxony-Anhalt and has 28% support among German voters nationally. The follow-up question for Germany and Europe more broadly is, what happens next? Or perhaps, what should happen next? The continued rise of right-wing populism across the 27-member European Union is placing new demands on traditional centrist and liberal political leaders. They are being called on to reassure a growing share of citizens who are moving to the right that their concerns can be respectfully heard and addressed within existing democratic systems and institutions. This is a moment where everything must be different, according to German commentator Martin Mahovec. It's time to move away from a defensive alliance against the far right and develop recognizable political projects and credible answers to voters' everyday concerns, he wrote in the German newspaper Die Zeit this week. These include the toll of deindustrialization and economic stagnation, and also growing concerns about the perceived or actual impacts of immigration on public services and safety, as well as on cultural and national identity. These issues are vocally amplified by right-wing parties in other countries such as France, Spain, and the United Kingdom. Political stigma and dismissive characterizations of such concerns don't work, observed Grégoire Roos, an analyst at Chatham House, a London-based think tank. He has suggested viewing Saxony-Anhalt as a useful laboratory to understand shifting rural, urban, and generational viewpoints, as well as the ability of the winning AfD candidate for governor, Ulrich Siegmund, to connect with voters. The AfD, Mr. Roos pointed out, recently ditched its somewhat passive and negative slogan, "Enough is enough," for the more proactive, "Everything is possible." That type of message resonates with individuals' underlying desire for forward movement and encouragement rather than being labeled or categorized by politicians on the left or the right. This was demonstrated in Hungary in April when opposition leader Péter Magyar convincingly won an election against a long-ruling right-wing authoritarian. Mr. Magyar often offered a message of love to all Hungarians and urged supporters to extend a hand to our fellow countrymen. Similarly, rather than old buzzwords to describe the AfD and its voters, firewall, right-wing extremists, bans, according to Suzanne Schwarzbach of the Deutschlandfunk radio program, what Germany needs is a compelling vision for the future. This election result is a mandate, not for the AfD, in Ms. Schwarzbach's view, but it's a mandate to work to strengthen our democracy. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how when we strive to see as God, Spirit, sees, we will understand more clearly our own and everyone's inherent perfection and goodness and find healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Tim Malone. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.